This is, of course, the organization's first trip back to the finals since 2014. You had a player then by the name of LeBron James. You will now be facing him in the NBA Finals. What is that going to be like?
I mean, that's a great storyline, right? Can you let us enjoy this for a little bit right now? This is hard to do. It's hard to get to this point. And I want our guys to recognize that, acknowledge it, enjoy it for at least a night. And then we'll get on to that tomorrow.
Well, Coach Spo, tomorrow has arrived. The NBA Finals start tonight. And though the matchup between the Lakers and the Heat is one that pretty much no one saw coming, it's given us one of the best storylines in playoff memory. Today, we go inside the tense relationship between LeBron James and Miami with the reporter who's covered LeBron longer than anyone, ESPN's Brian Windhorst, and learn the surprising reason why the marriage of LeBron and Pat Riley was destined to fail. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, September 30th. This is ESPN Daily. Brian Windhorst, you have spent, I think, the last decade of your life trying to establish, and successfully establishing, by the way, that you are a lot more than the LeBron guy after knowing and covering him longer than any other human being in our business, dating back to your high school days in Akron, and then even through the time you famously up and moved to Miami to cover him there. So I just want to begin by apologizing for pulling you back into the orbit of the same sun we've been worshiping for now 17 years.
Well, I wouldn't be here but for LeBron. I was extraordinarily fortunate to meet him when he was 14 years old. His move to Miami, opened the door for me to come to ESPN. So I owe LeBron immensely. And while all of us want to spread our wings as we get older, certainly would never shy away from or tire from looking at this guy, because he's been an influential character in my life. And thankfully, an influential character in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, that was incredibly well said. But now it's time to get super messy, because in this case, in this series, where there are so many different interesting storylines and angles, it does feel like past might be prologue. I want to go back 10 years now. It is July 9th, 2010, and LeBron James is introduced to Heat fans for the first time, along with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, introduced to the NBA, really, for the first time as this big three. And LeBron is asked about his plan for winning championships in Miami.
But we also know you three kings came down here to win championships. Not one, championships.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
So at that moment, how did the Miami Heat see the LeBron era playing out?
Pat Riley thought that that was the greatest dynasty team that he had ever been able to be a part of. Better than Magic and Kareem and James Worthy. Better than Shaq and Dwayne Wade. Better than the hopeful teams that he had with the Knicks, with Patrick Ewing and Allen Houston and John Starks. He thought this was one of the greatest teams in the history of the NBA. He saw a horizon for a decade where they would be in the finals year after year after year, and maybe they wouldn't win it every year. Maybe they wouldn't win five, six, or seven, as LeBron said, but they would rack them up. It was going to be his sunset team. He was going to ride this dynasty out and then go into the sunset. And it was an incredible 4 years. It was one of the most prolific four-year runs in the history of the NBA. But it wasn't that dynasty. And Pat Riley has never 100% ever gotten over it.
So let's unwind that a little. I want to dig into the psyche of Pat Riley, the president of the Heat. Because in 2014, when LeBron shocked the world by announcing that he'd return to Ohio after four seasons and two titles with the Heat, remind me how that news was received inside the Miami Heat organization.
Poorly. It's important to realize timing. LeBron didn't give his decision until about July 8th or 9th. And, you know, these days, you know, in a typical NBA calendar year, we often see all of the business wrap up by July 4th. The fact that it happened so late in the free agent process that it put the Heat in a bad position. And so they were angry on a number of levels. They were even angry about their draft pick, Pablo, because LeBron had tweeted around the draft that his favorite player in the draft was this point guard out of Connecticut, Shabazz Napier.
Ah, yes. The immortal Shabazz Napier.
Right. And on draft night, the Heat traded three picks to draft Shabazz Napier. under the assumption, I guess, that moving up to get Shabazz Napier would sweeten the pot, entice LeBron to stay. The drawing card of Shabazz Napier. and it led to the relatively infamous comment the following year when Pat Riley was talking about getting ready for the team's draft.
No more smiling faces with hidden agendas. Okay, so we'll be going in clean.
Essentially an accusation that LeBron somehow duped the Heat into trading up for Shabazz Napier, who was not a successful player ultimately in Miami. So there was a lot of bad blood. LeBron later said that one of his motivations for winning in Cleveland, for winning a championship, was because somebody in Miami told him that he was making the biggest mistake of his life by leaving. Mm. Pat Riley has denied saying that, but I'm not so sure that I believe that. And so I think there was a lot of animus that came out in those weeks and months following his decision to leave.
So LeBron's move disrupted the entirety of the Heat organization at that point. How exactly did Pat Riley, the aforementioned team president, and Eric Spoelstra, the head coach, the great Filipino-American head coach, for the record, how did they find a path forward, Brian?
Well, at first, you know, they still had two all-star players. They had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And then they went out and signed Luol Deng. And, you know, sort of the jilted lover Pat Riley described the Deng signing as one of the great moments in the history of the Heat franchise. Even though Deng was, you know, past his all-star prime, as it turned out, you know, sort of the rebound relationship.
Yes. And
they subsequently then traded two first-round draft picks later that year for Goran Dragic. It was the Heat's intention to get back into the playoffs, match up with the Cavs, and knock LeBron out. That's what their plan was. They wanted to stick it in his face, poke him in the eye, show him that he had indeed made a huge mistake. But then Chris Bosh came down with the blood clots and his season ended, and ultimately his career ended, as it turned out. And that derailed the Heat's hopes of competing with LeBron over the next 4 years.
So, over those 4 years in Miami, where LeBron built that partnership with Riley and Spoelstra, a lot of those other players from that era moved on. But Riley and Spoelstra are still there. Is there any lingering animosity, do you think, today between them and LeBron?
I think there's scar tissue. I think it was interesting that in the wake of the Heat winning the conference finals, Eric Spoelstra, you know, grabs the mic after the game and not only thanks his current players, but thanks past great players of the Heat organization.
I know, Zoe, you're probably up there scowling at us. Shane, Dwayne, I know you're out there watching somewhere. CB, Heat Nation.
He thanks Dwayne Wade. He thanks Chris Bosh. And he can't thank the guy who won two MVPs and brought them two titles, which just, you know, illustrates the awkwardness of this. It is one of the things of LeBron's career. One of the interesting things that LeBron has done is that he has left these teams where he's had success to go find better alternatives elsewhere. And you know who that's a lot like, Pablo?
Who?
It's a lot like Pat Riley. And this is one of the things that I think why Pat Riley and LeBron James were never ticketed to be compadres for decades. Because they're too much alike. for all of Pat Riley's sale, and he's a salesman at the end of the day. He's one of the great salesmen in the history of the NBA. He sells philosophy.
Yes.
But really, he's ruthless. And he was ruthless when he was with the Knicks and negotiated his way to a better deal in Miami. And it was a historically great deal that he got 25 years ago this month.
Mm.
Even these great players that he had in Miami, when the time came, he was not afraid to cut bait. Ultimately, Tim Hardaway, Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal, Dwayne Wade all left and went to play for other teams. And, you know, the Heat's public relations apparatus could come on and explain away all of those. But they all were at the point where Riley was like, you are not valued enough to me anymore, and so you've got to go. Pat Riley is not afraid to send flowers. And at the end of the day, neither is LeBron James. If you are not in that 7 to 10 person inner circle of his, he is not afraid to cut you loose. Mm. He was not afraid to cut Dwayne Wade loose when it mattered. He was not afraid to basically suggest that his whole team should be traded for Anthony Davis when it mattered. And that is a lot like Pat Riley. Pat Riley and LeBron James are so alike that they could probably never really get along.
So when we look ahead to whoever wins this particular NBA Finals, tell me about what it would mean to either side, because part of that emotional composition you described is a long memory, is the fact that you are so competitive that you do not forget. What is this going to mean, given all that context?
Well, as I've covered the NBA for 17 years, I can tell you that the things that are most special are the playoff runs or the championships that are unexpected. When LeBron James won his first conference finals in an upset in 2007, that playoff run holds a special place to him other than most of the other nine where he went to the finals, where most of those years he was expected to go to the finals. The Heat getting here as a number five seed in a year where they were expected to improve but basically be on a ramp up towards chasing free agents next year. This unexpected nature of this has made this particular Heat run feel very special and very refreshing and very heartening. So they are a team 10 years after they were the overdogs and probably the most hated team in the NBA.
Right.
They are now sort of the playful underdogs who are very fun to watch. And the Lakers are the Lakers. They are the juggernaut. They are the favorite. But the one thing they have is they've had a lot of tragedy challenge in this season. From their aspect and the Kobe Bryant aspect, there's an emotional connection there too. So I think this is a finals that will have, even in a situation where we usually see a lot of emotion, will have even extra than we're used to seeing.
All right, after the break, I need you to talk to me about Anthony Davis and how he has pushed LeBron James to finally change his game after 17 years, and why that may be the secret to a Lakers championship.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Brian, coming into this season for the Lakers, the key questions revolved around, is Father Time finally going to get a win against LeBron James? And then, could Anthony Davis thrive in a spotlight that would be so much hotter than anything he'd experienced in New Orleans? And the fact that the Lakers are here now in the finals, it suggests a win of some sort on both fronts, but it's almost kind of worked out even better than I think any of us imagined. Can you assess the potency of the particular combination of LeBron James and Anthony Davis on both ends of the floor?
Yeah, so I was one of the people who recognized that the Lakers were going to be vastly improved, but did not think they were going to be a championship team in this year. Mm. And by the way, just saying that the Lakers were going to make the playoffs was not an insignificant statement because they had missed it for six consecutive years, including with LeBron after he had suffered that injury, which limited him in a way that no injury had done before. And it limited him to the point where you at least paused for a moment when expecting him to be indestructible, because it was the first time he was not. And they traded so much to get Anthony Davis. And so they really invested a lot in this partnership working on a big level immediately. And I just wasn't sure that it was going to, but LeBron changed his position to accommodate Anthony Davis. Now, LeBron has played, de facto point guard for much of his career. But to play point guard essentially from beginning to end of every single game and to use that position to set Anthony Davis up to make sure that he was successful really, really helped. And LeBron totally bought into it. He led the league in assists, and the most high volume assist tandem in the NBA was LeBron James to Anthony Davis. And so LeBron's willingness in year 17 to alter his game, to make it fit, it really made a major difference in the Lakers season.
So LeBron has shown this great flexibility in changing his game this year. But now he faces a head coach, and it's his former head coach, mind you, Eric Spoelstra, who has shown an ability of his own to change what his team does pretty much on the fly. And what Spo has been doing in these playoffs, Brian, using the zone defense, building this defensive approach that is going to be the best that LeBron and Anthony Davis will have faced all postseason. I mean, you talk to coaches, NBA coaches, all the time. What are they saying about Miami's defense and how they're pulling this off and how you attack that if you're LeBron?
Well, Eric Spoelstra has developed a reputation of being, I actually think a great nickname for him would be the Mechanic. Although it's not a great nickname for somebody who plays in Miami, or, who operates in Miami. It's a great nickname for somebody who operates in Milwaukee.
It's a little rust belt, Brian, admittedly.
That's right. Because Eric Spoelstra is known throughout the coaching community for just making over his teams as the season goes along. You talk to scouts and they talk about, every time I play a Heat team, I have to throw out my past notes because Eric Spoelstra morphs his team throughout the course of each season to fit all of their talents. He's constantly tinkering, changing. And, you can point out that for a 4 or 5 year span after LeBron left, that essentially this was a 500 team and they missed the playoffs 3 of those 5 years. But it didn't mean that Eric Spoelstra wasn't drawing the best out of those teams. Mm. So at the beginning of this season, way back when, they weren't playing zone defense. They weren't playing with Tyler Hero getting minutes to finish the game. They weren't playing Duncan Robinson to be a center point of their offense. But this is how Eric Spoelstra is wired. This is why he's been so successful.
When you look at the Miami Heat and the pieces they're doing it with, I actually want to focus on the two best players, ostensibly, in Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. And those two guys mostly guarded LeBron and Anthony Davis as the regular season progressed. And LeBron and Anthony Davis, for the record, I think they averaged like 22 points per game more than that duo. But as you mentioned, after all of this tinkering and adjustment to get to this point in the postseason, it feels like they're not the same guys that they may have been earlier in the season. How do you see those pairs, LeBron and AD and Jimmy and Bam, matching up in this series?
Well, the star power is not the same. Yes, Jimmy Butler has a Michelob Ultra commercial that we've seen 1,000 times if you've been watching the NBA playoffs, but he doesn't have the wattage. And he's, frankly, he's not a first-team All-NBA player. LeBron and Anthony Davis are first-team All-NBA players. Jimmy Butler is a guy who is the spirit of a team, a franchise player in every respect, but he is not a guy who's going to score 33 points every game. He is going to have some games where he scores 13 points, and he's going to have some games where he sort of vanishes at the end of games, but it doesn't mean he's not doing a lot of hard work. And, you know, Adebayo, same thing. I mean, he had only scored over 30 points a couple of times in his career. Anthony Davis averaged over 30 points in the Western Conference Finals. So you're never going to see the same wattage. But if you look at the way they play, which is Jimmy's ability to defend all kinds of different positions, Jimmy's ability to lead his teammates, and you look at Bam Adebayo's ability to play and defend two or three different positions, really Bam Adebayo plays the way Eric Spoelstra wanted to use LeBron James. He plays 1 through 5. He can be the point guard on offense and the center on defense. And with the way that he play and the way they are designed, Bam Adebayo basically is their LeBron James.
So the guys that Bam in that point center 1 through 5 kind of role, the guys he's passing to, the rest of the roster, that does feel like where the Heat may have a real advantage in that depth. And you mentioned Tyler Hero, but you go to Goran Dragic, Duncan Robinson, down the bench. What do you make of what the Heat have been doing with a crop of role players that honestly I expected very little from when this season began?
The Heat have built a team that is a bunch of kind of underdogs, as much as you can be an underdog as an NBA player. So, you know, Jimmy Butler was a guy taken 30th in the draft. Now, he's a first-round draft pick, but never a premier guy, a guy who's been given up on by two or three different teams.
Yes.
Duncan Robinson, who's proven to be one of the most prolific shooters the NBA has seen in the modern times, he reached out to former college players who didn't make it in the pros and became media members because he thought he was going to have to go that route. Goran Dragic, second-round draft picks from Slovenia. Jay Crowder has been traded 6 times on the contract that he's on right now. I mean, I can go all the way down the list. Kelly Olynyk is from Kamloops, British Columbia. How many guys from Kamloops, British Columbia have played in the NBA? The highest draft pick that they have on their whole roster was taken 9th, and that's Andre Iguodala in 2004 by the Philadelphia 76ers, way back when. The rest of their guys are mid-to-round draft picks or not even drafted. The whole team is built like this. It means that all of them are a little bit more willing to compromise because they all have had to compromise during their journeys to get to this team. They were designed to be the perfect underdog, and that is one of the reasons they are so fun to watch.
So when you evaluate this series and you look at these matchups and which team has matchup advantages, I'm wondering if you have a particular matchup in mind, Brian, given everything you just said, that we should be paying especially close attention to.
The Bam Adebayo-Anthony Davis matchup will, in all likelihood, define this series. Anthony Davis has had a brilliant postseason.
Davis, a three for the win! He hit it! Anthony Davis, a buzzer-beating three-pointer!
He has had the type of postseason that the Lakers dreamed about alongside LeBron. Not only hitting a spectacular game-winning shot in the West Finals against Denver, which really was a tide-turning moment in that series, but putting up spectacular numbers night in and night out so that LeBron doesn't have to carry that load and he can save his energy for when it was needed, like it was to finish off the Nuggets in Game 5.
James, heat check from three, answered again! 38 for LeBron James, carrying the Lakers to the finish line in the Western Conference Finals.
Yet, Anthony Davis has not seen a player in this series like Bam Adebayo. In fact, there's not a player in the NBA who's really like him. He is so agile and mobile and strong and big and talented, and can do so many different things that he will be a brand new challenge.
Adebayo with a left-hand dribble, driving right by Tice, goes strong and flushes with two hands. Tatum makes his way to the three-point line, drives, blocked at the rim by Adebayo. Bam, Adebayo may have just won game one of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Miami Heat.
So while the Lakers have two number one overall picks, while the Lakers have the two stars of Space Jam 2, while the Lakers have two guys who are first team All-NBA, and while the Lakers have all of the history on their side, the Heat do have this special weapon in Bam Adebayo. And whether or not he is able to be that type of player against Anthony Davis with that major challenge, very likely is going to determine how this series plays out.
Brian Winters, thank you so much for joining us on ESPN Daily.
Thank you, Pablo.
You can hear more from Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective podcast. Coming up, the NFL is dealing with its first major outbreak of the coronavirus, threatening this season and reminding us how the league was born in the first place.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I want you to know. The National Football League was born out of a pandemic. It was born in 1920, just 2 years after the Spanish flu swept through the United States, killing 675,000 Americans and pretty much consuming everything. Pro football was, back then, this largely local sport in the Midwest, and it needed some kind of national organization to keep going. The seasons of teams like the Detroit Heralds had been cut short, abbreviated, amid all the chaos of a world war on the one hand and a global pandemic on the other. Yesterday, 100 years after the NFL was born, we learned that a global pandemic is again threatening to cut short this pro football season. It started on Saturday when Shane Bowen, a linebackers coach for the Tennessee Titans, tested positive for coronavirus, preventing Bowen, but not the rest of the Titans, from flying to Minneapolis to play the Vikings. On Monday, the day after Tennessee narrowly beat Minnesota, 3 Titans players and 5 other Tennessee employees then tested positive for COVID. None of the 8 displayed symptoms, apparently, and no Vikings have yet been confirmed positive. But our Dan Graziano reports that the league has identified 48 people who came in close contact with those 8. So for now, the referees who worked that game are all now being tested and held out of week 4 entirely. And the Titans facility is closed until at least Saturday. And the Vikings are still waiting on their latest round of test results. Both teams are still scheduled to play on Sunday. But after 2 weeks of smooth sailing in the NFL, after 2 proud weeks of nearly forgetting the all-consuming power of this pandemic, America's number one sport now finds itself scrambling. Everything seems up in the air right now. Everything, seems ripe for a series of reschedulings or even cancellations, with only one thing really clear: that the NFL isn't quite so exceptional after all. Pro football, it turns out to be as vulnerable as every other unbubbled and chaotic and abbreviated sport in America, just like baseball or college football. In fact, the NFL finds itself in a situation that's a lot like the one that helped birth it in the first place, a century ago. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.